Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one-coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
Hello everyone and welcome back to more Knowing Wheel, where yes, we're back today, episode 48?
Episode
49, I think. Is it 49? Are we almost at a half century of Knowing Wheel here? It is! It's episode 49 of
That's
Knowing
mad.
Wheel. That is kind of wild. As you would have already heard though, as always, we're joined once again by Mr. 183. How the devil are we, mate?
I'm doing alright, yeah. Decent. Uni's done for 3 weeks, which is nice.
That's so, alright for some.
Yeah. Imagine having a job. Actually, I do have a job. We'll ignore that. Doing well. How about you?
Yeah, I must admit, I've had better weekends than the one I've just went through. But, you know, we keep moving. But, yeah, we'll wait and see. You know, race week once more, though. Looking forward to heading back to the land down under at Albert Park. It's been weird, hasn't it, Jamie? It felt, for me, really odd that we didn't have a race last weekend.
Yeah, it was a bit strange. I guess we got spoiled by having, two very good races back-to-back. But even 1 week off feels like starvation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, the next few, there's a lot of break weeks now coming up, isn't
it? Yeah, we've not really got many back-to-backs at all, really.
I think Baku, Canada, I want to say, for some stupid reason, is the
why?
Next back-to-back one.
Just makes zero sense. But yeah, we're in Australia this week. And then Imola in 2 weeks' time. Well,
I will be in Imola.
And you'll be in Imola. Wow.
3 weeks' time. I'm really now starting to look forward to that.
Yeah. Nice.
But as always, though, you know, if you're watching this on YouTube, hello, Jamie. Make sure you wave to the camera as well, so I don't look like a muppet. Of course, if you want to check out this on Spotify, there will be links down below as well to everything else. You know, if you want to shop F1 merch, want to shop Manscaped, everything like that. Links all down in the description. Of course, timestamps as well. You know, this one is probably going to be a bit more of a chatty episode. We've got a few things to get through today. So, of course, if, you know, there's one sort of big thing you really want to see, then there will be timestamps linked down below as well. But, Jamie, let's get right into it then. Big news from last week. F1 is heading to Vegas.
Yeah, and I think that's very cool. The track's not that inspiring, but it certainly looks decent, and I think the drivers
better
are going to
absolutely
love
one.
It. Oh yeah, much better than Caesar's Palace. What a terrible race that was back in the day. But no, it
it's
looks
like
very
you remember
exciting.
It.
Yeah, I definitely remember 1982. Yeah, was it? That's a random
82,
year.
83. No,
oh,
you were
I'm
spot
such
on.
A genius.
You are such an F1 nerd. Fair play.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks very good. Night race as well. It's a bit weird that it's happening in there like Saturday night effectively.
Yeah, which,
so we're gonna be what, like, I can't remember how it worked. They're behind us, aren't they? So it'll happen Saturday evening in America, which will effectively for Europeans it'll be like 2 a.m. or 3 a.m. on a Sunday morning.
I think it's gonna be slightly later than that because it is quite late at night in Las Vegas.
Another night race as well. I don't have we had when was the last time a new track got announced that wasn't a night race? It feels like
that's
a long time.
That's a very good question.
Probably,
isn't it?
I guess,
Imola,
Netherlands.
I suppose.
Or Imola, yeah.
And Netherlands, yeah.
But yeah, that, and it occurred to me, I saw a thing on Instagram this morning. Australia this weekend is the first time we've had a day race in the last 6 races. Which is a bit mad, really. When,
that's
like,
mad. I hadn't even thought about that.
Like 14 years ago, there was one night race and it was quite iconic.
Wait, the last 6 races in a row.
So we've had 5 night races in a row, yeah.
5? Yeah, because we've had, obviously, 2 Jeddahs, 1 Yas Marina, 1 Bahrain. Well, Yas Marina wasn't really a race, but still. Bahrain. Yeah, Qatar was as well, wasn't it?
Yeah. So Brazil was the last time we had a daytime race.
That's insane.
Which is crazy.
That genuinely has completely blown my mind there, Jamie.
Well, there you go. Another one to look forward to in Las Vegas.
I mean, when's it going to be? We've got more night races than day races.
Yeah, that's the thing. The European season will just get smaller and smaller until every race is happening under floodlights. But there we go.
Yeah, but I mean, obviously, going back to Vegas then, Jamie, like you said, the track, I think, has potential.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's certainly, I don't think, yeah, certainly not going to be a world beater.
I'm not a huge fan of the obsession with street tracks. I mean, I like them, especially sort of purpose-built type street tracks. So the one in Jeddah is quite cool.
Well, we spoke about that last week, didn't
we? Yeah, yeah. But, like, this one looks a bit like a Formula E circuit, to be honest. But I'm sure
a lot bigger.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Much, much bigger than a Formula E circuit. Bigger. It's going to be, what, I think 52, 53 laps, I want to say?
Something like that, yeah. And I do. It does look really cool. Like, the especially if it's raining, the pictures will just be my phone background for eternity, honestly. Like, that would be incredible, seeing the F1 cars on the strip if it's raining. But there we go. I'm sure it'll be fun. The drivers are going to love it. And another race in America, so that'll be three, including what, Miami, which is coming up soon,
yep,
in May, I think.
Yep.
And obviously COTA, which has been around for a while now. So it's good. I like the fact that we're moving into America a bit.
Yeah, and I think this has definitely been a big talking point for a lot of people this week, isn't it? Of people going, you know, we've now got three races in America and Germany still can't host a race, things like that.
Yeah.
Where do we sort of sit on this debate?
I think it's in F1's interest to conquer North America almost.
Yeah.
Obviously, the Canadian Grand Prix has been around for years and years. Mexico's,
it's a staple, I'd argue.
Yeah. Mexico's been recently okay, although there's rumours it might not be for much longer. And yeah, COTA's been a big success. I think Miami looks pretty decent. And America's massive. Like, that's the thing.
Yeah.
North America is probably, it is bigger than Europe, isn't it, in terms of population and size?
I wouldn't say population necessarily.
Well, it's
are we talking all of North America?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think, I can't imagine there's a huge difference. You keep
talking
about
but
it.
But even so, like, that'll make it, what, five races across North America? And in Europe, we've still got about 12. So I can see why people are annoyed, because it is one country seeming to get all of the attention, but it's a very big country. So,
yes, yeah.
I don't mind it too much.
Of course, the big thing as well, I think a lot of people forget, is, like you said, obviously, America alone is massive.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about, you know, why don't we get more races in Europe, when things like Zandvoort and Spa are less than 100 miles apart, aren't they?
Yeah.
You know, Nürburgring and Spa as well. I've driven between the two circuits before. They're not far away at all from each other. Just to clarify as well, population of Europe is approximately 750 million. Population of North America is currently 590 million.
Okay.
So, yeah, really not much difference.
No, not a huge difference. And, yeah, you're talking, like, the road trip from, like, Silverstone to Budapest is probably, this is a complete guess, but it's probably similar to the distance between, like, Las Vegas and COTA, for instance.
Yeah, yeah, you probably haven't picked the best two examples.
No, probably
there.
Not.
But
I don't know American geography at all.
No, I, yeah, it's, I mean, COTA is very much sort of out in the middle of nowhere, to be honest, because
yeah,
obviously
it
it's Texas, but it's pretty much far away from, well, the other side of COTA.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and I think the other big thing as well, isn't it, of course, no matter which country you go to in Europe, if you host another American Grand Prix, you're looking at an economy that is seven times larger at the very least. And that's over a country like Germany.
And also, I think a really cool example of this working is like Guan Yu Zhou, who I've obviously got to talk about in every podcast. But like, the idea of a Grand Prix, like F1 setting up a new Grand Prix in a country that hasn't had many drivers in the past. Obviously, America has had quite a few, but not in modern history. So
Alexander Rossi?
Yeah, obviously.
Up the boys?
What was it? We didn't put him in trash, did we? When he did
no, I think we put him in D tier.
Yeah. But even so, you look at the Chinese Grand Prix, there was no history of F1 there at all. You stick a race there, some kid goes to Shanghai, sees Fernando Alonso drive.
And he was a Hamilton fan.
It was an Alonso fan, actually, at first.
And then a Hamilton
senses.
Fan.
And then, what, 15, 20 years later, he's then been inspired to start a career in motorsport and got to F1. Like, that's kind of the ideal for F1, because obviously having tracks is all well and good for places like America, but ideally you do want a driver.
Yes, yeah. I think, like I said, I've been amazed since obviously Haas departed from Euro-Cali and everything like that, that Haas didn't go completely balls to the wall with like American flags everywhere on the car. I genuinely think that would have been a fantastic marketing move from them, because there is no country more patriotic than the US. Whether it's for better or for worse is open to debate, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But they could have really gone all out on that.
Yeah, definitely. But I think getting an American driver was one step too far, because there's not really that many.
Oh, yeah, no, like, I didn't mean that sort
not,
of side
yeah,
of
not with the driver. But yeah. I do see, as soon as there is an American driver good enough, whether it be Logan Sargeant or Callum Williams, hasn't had the best start to his F2 career, but someone like that has to be snapping at the bit to get him in the car, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, there's always still discussions, isn't there? I wonder whether we're going to see, you know, maybe like an Audi or a Porsche. You know, but that's something else we're going to talk about later on in this podcast. Whether we could see a team like that potentially get an American driver, or, you know, McLaren could potentially look at it if they have to become a bit more of a B-spec team for someone else again.
Yeah, definitely.
You just never quite know.
And there's plenty of decent drivers in IndyCar as well. So could
exactly. IndyCar is full of talent at the moment as well. And, of course, especially with simulators and everything like that nowadays, you can theoretically get more up to speed quicker for Formula One.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we've seen, I mean, in the last two races, like Magnussen and Hülkenberg, who haven't been in F1 for 18 months each, suddenly jump in. They do a fairly respectable job, certainly Magnussen.
Yeah, Magnussen certainly
got limited by the car quite a lot, but still did okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see, isn't it? Because I really don't know when we're going to next see an American in Formula One. But to be honest, you talking about Zhou Guanyu actually has kind of got my mind thinking as well. Could we potentially, down the line, see a Chinese street circuit?
It wouldn't surprise me. I think they'll need to get re-established in Shanghai first, because obviously they've not been there in a long time.
Yeah.
Because of the pandemic and obviously that stuff like that. But if they go back to Shanghai and it's like a sellout because Zhou's created massive hype for F1 there, like, it wouldn't surprise me if you get a second race in China at all.
Yes, exactly. And I think obviously if Zhou Guanyu does get some big results, then again obviously they could really sort of explode the Chinese interest in Formula One once more there. But
and,
Vegas though. Oh,
Vegas,
sorry.
Seems to be coming at the cost of France, which I'm not bothered about at all. That's very good.
I mean, Paul Ricciardo had a pretty good showing last year. And again, I think it's sort of the same vibe, isn't it, with Germany? You know, there's so much. I mean, France did effectively invent the motor car and the motor race.
And they had the first ever race, didn't they?
Yes. The Paris to Rouen rally.
Yeah, I don't know. Le Castellet is such an uninspiring circuit.
There is a big element of that, though, isn't there? France.
I'd love them to go back to Rouen if they could do that up, but it's not going to happen.
That would not work. it always surprised me, isn't it? You know, sort of you'd look at the history of France in Formula One. You know, Magny-Cours again was obviously quite an iconic track, I think, for a lot of people of a certain generation.
Dijon was pretty good, 1979.
Dijon as well, yeah, of course, all those years ago. Whether we could obviously just see, you know, at some point down the line, you know, if F1 keeps expanding at the exponential rate it has, whether we could see like a new sort of purpose-built French Grand Prix circuit, because they again, a bit like, obviously Germany's got, you know, Nürburgring and Hockenheim are both two
perfectly very
good F1 tracks. Of course, that's just a monetary issue. But I think France desperately needs sort of like an iconic track back, even if it was Magny-Cours.
Yeah, I don't think Magny-Cours will really work with the size of the cars we've got now.
No.
Yeah, a purpose-built track would be great. Even like a Paris street circuit would be pretty awesome. But we've got enough already.
that could be certainly very, very interesting down the line. Going back to Vegas, though, Jamie, quickly. Obviously, talking about, you know, night race, everything like that. A bit strange, though, isn't it, as well? You know, the fact, obviously, we've got Miami, we've got Texas, we've now got Las Vegas. But, of course, Las Vegas being a night race is pretty much going to completely eliminate the east coast of the US being able to watch it, because it'll be at like 1 a.m.
Yeah.
Which seemed a bit of an odd move.
Yeah, it is a bit strange, isn't it? I guess America, like, they know how to do their marketing, don't they? You look at stuff like the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
It's huge, doing stuff on Saturday night for the main market in the West Coast.
Well, they're doing it to try and not conflict with Super Bowl Sunday and things like that, aren't they?
Yeah. But a Saturday night prime time, they're gonna make it such a show, you can just tell.
Oh yeah,
already.
Exactly.
Like, it will be tailored for the US audience, and
it's
I'm sure
burn our retinas with flashing lights at half four in the morning.
Will it be up at 3 a.m. watching Las Vegas and just won't be able to sleep because of all the lights that have been invading our eyes?
exactly. That's going to be fun, isn't it? But yeah, track though certainly looks interesting. Like I said, obviously two massive straights. You know, you go around sort of a lot of the... Do we call them landmarks in Las Vegas? I suppose we probably should, shouldn't we?
Yeah.
You know, we get to drive past the fake Eiffel Tower, which does make me chuckle.
I can see the fake London Eye in the middle as well.
There's the fake London Eye, yeah, everything like that.
The building that looks like the Eiffel Tower, I see that as well.
I say there's a fidget spinner.
There's a ball. Where...
there's a ball, yeah. You can tell. Should we do a tour to Vegas? Should we go Vegas Grand Prix weekend?
Obviously, if you couldn't tell, we've never been.
No,
I don't know anything about Las Vegas. Apart from it's got lots of casinos.
Pretty much, yeah. All I know about Las Vegas is it's got lots of casinos and anything I've seen from The Hangover Part 1, which is probably not a great reference point. But, you know, we move. I even put a Hangover meme up on the channel last week there. But, yeah, moving away, though, then, Jamie, from Las Vegas. Smaller news, then. Nico Hülkenberg, he said he wants to come back full-time. Not really surprising, is it?
No. I mean, he wasn't one of these drivers who left by his own accord, do you feel like? Or he wasn't good enough. I would disagree with that.
Am I getting away with that? No.
But, yeah, I mean, it's not that surprising. I think he's basically got the same stance he did when he first lost his Renault seat. Like, his life would go on fine without F1, but he would quite like to come back. Like, he's not desperate for a seat. He's not just going to go searching for the slowest car to get into. But yeah,
I don't think anyone searches for the slowest car to go into. But
I think that the interview that came out today when we were recording this didn't really change much. Like, we kind of knew that already. He would come back if he could, but he's kind of had his time almost. So
see, I'm not convinced this is the end of the Hülkenberg story.
I'd be very surprised if he comes back full-time.
All I'm thinking, Jamie...
Audi,
again,
Porsche?
Audi, Porsche. I'm wondering. But then, obviously, when you look at the timescale, like, you know, they're probably not going to come in until 2025.
He's already 34, I believe.
Is he that old?
He's getting on a little bit.
I think he is, isn't he?
33? 34? No, he is 34, yeah.
34? So. He's washed up. Yeah, he's not coming back. Okay, yeah, no, I retract that. He's not coming back. Fair enough.
I mean, I'd love to see him back in a decent car, but I think...
Or, other idea, sorry, Seb retires.
Yeah, well, this is Seb's first. He's obviously back from isolation this race, and he may suddenly decide to call it a day.
I'd take two laps in that Aston Martin and probably think the same thing, to be honest.
Yeah, it's not where a full-time world champion should be, really.
No.
Yeah, it's not a great car at all. But yeah, I can see him popping in and out when needed and stuff. Like, basically any of the Mercedes power teams get a COVID case, I think Hülkenberg would probably be the first choice.
I'd say Aston Martin Williams, yes. Not McLaren or...
Who is McLaren's reserve? Is this Van Dorn? No.
I think so still, but I'm thinking Oscar Piastri.
Oh yeah, they made that a little agreement, didn't they? I forgot about that. Yeah, Piastri are probably in.
I am so looking forward to the day we see Piastri
announce COVID for one of the McLaren drivers.
Oh, honestly, like, I would never wish it upon anyone, but, you know, Lando Norris, lick some turnstiles or something.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, let's talk then, Jamie. Australia, we're back in Melbourne for the first time since 2019, kind of.
Well, this time 2 years ago was, well, not this time, but when we were in Melbourne 2 years ago, everything was kicking off and the world was ending.
It was a disaster. It was a wild time to be alive.
That was such a weird time, yeah. I don't even know. But yeah, we're back. First race here since 2019, which Bottas won. That was Honda's first race at Red Bull as well, which is quite mad. They went on to win a championship together and then quit. But, well, kind of quit. But yeah, I'm looking forward to this race, definitely. The track seems to be improved. We can hope that it'll have some better racing, because I saw a stat earlier actually on Twitter, Virtual Statman.
Yep.
In the whole time Melbourne's been on the calendar, excluding restarts and race starts, there's been one overtake for the lead ever.
And I mean, it's crazy. It's been on the calendar now since what, 1997?
something like that. It's been such a long time.
Because, interesting fun fact as well, Jamie, Damon Hill was the last driver to win two races inside the same country, back-to-back at two different circuits.
What, still now?
Still now.
Wow, that's impressive.
He won the last race in 1996, and then the first race in 97.
Fair play. Well done, Damon. Yeah, I don't know what to add to that, but there we go. Yeah, I think the changes will basically make it so much more flowing. You've kind of basically, you've got like pretty much full throttle from the exit of turn three up until the fast chicane. There's maybe one corner in that time, but yeah.
Yeah, six might be
yeah
a bit of a lift, and five, to be honest, might be a bit of a lift now.
Really? They're not that much downforce, are they?
You never know. Heavy fuel, things like that.
I guess heavy fuel, yeah, but in quality, they'll be nailed through there, definitely.
Oh, yeah, qualifying, they'll be completely pinned.
But yeah. Well, you, yeah. you're our scout for this venue. What's it like in real life, Matt?
It's very different to how I remember it, to be honest, in real life, Jamie. but yeah, it is always quite strange when you look at Albert Park, because it's a weird street circuit, isn't it? It's one of those older street circuits that you don't really think is a street circuit.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very oddly positioned as well in Melbourne. It's
well,
kind of it's kind of in Melbourne, but not really in Melbourne all at the same time. It's really bizarre to try and explain. I mean, probably the word to describe it is the suburbs. But
yeah, that word exists for a reason, I think.
Yeah, but it's weirdly close to like the downtown district as well. It's just a bit strange. But of course, yeah, the big talking point, though, today, four DRS zones with just two detection points.
Which seems ludicrous to me, I don't know. Like, we kind of saw it in Bahrain and in Saudi, that through the high-speed sections, they can actually follow each other now, the safe scene to be able to. Like,
yeah.
At least better than last year, for sure. Don't say it. I really want to. I don't see the need to just ram a DRS zone everywhere. I think, luckily for Melbourne, it should be a bit better than it was in Jeddah, with it being ridiculous, where you have, like, the one towards turn 27, then a heavy braking zone, and then another one straight away, because the switch of positions was like artificial to me. I didn't like it too much.
Yeah, and I think,
but at least for Melbourne, the one before turn 9 and the one before turn 1, we shouldn't see many overtakes into those two corners, I doubt.
I was more actually thinking of the traction zones.
Really?
They're both a lot more difficult traction zones than
They are, yeah.
Jeddah, obviously, because the problem was with Jeddah was it was a slow speed corner with only really one line. But of course, unless you Verstappen it from 2021, which no one was going to do in race trim unless you're Nicholas Latifi, obviously it was a pretty sort of, I'm trying to think of the right word to describe it, but I think like an analog corner I want to sort of describe it.
It's only
sort of one way through. Obviously, Albert Park, there's a lot more room for error through turn 2 and turn 10, as Bottas found out.
Yeah, the exit of certain corners here, especially turn 1-2, is always, and turn 9 and 10 is something you can definitely mess up.
Yeah.
Which they haven't been there in a while, and they also haven't driven, like, I don't know, like recent memory, it feels like every track is either a street track or one with huge expansive runoffs.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
So they haven't been to a track like this, almost traditional type track, in a while, it feels like. So I wonder if there'll be much rust or if they'll be okay.
Now, you mentioned, Jamie, the DRS zones.
Mm.
I genuinely think they should have been a bit braver with this.
What, make it longer back to turn 6 or something?
I think so here's my idea. And obviously the first part I think makes a lot of sense. The second part I would just be really interested to see. So like you said, that back straight DRS zone all the way from turn 7 to turn 9, I reckon, right the way through.
That's such a long section.
It is, I completely agree. But here's the one I'm really interested in, I want to hear from you. Between turn 14 and turn 3, I reckon that should all be available for DRS. So you've got to try and be brave on the exit of turn 2.
Oh. I mean, yeah.
A bit like 2011 qualifying.
That would be interesting. I feel like no one would be stupid enough to make a mistake like that.
Now, I'm not convinced the cars wouldn't be able to handle turn 2. I reckon, they would be able to handle turn 2 with DRS.
Yeah. It's just a bit of a risk, isn't it? Because, you miss your apex slightly and you're suddenly on the artificial grass and you're opening DRS and you're just
you don't open the DRS.
Yeah. It would be interesting to see, definitely.
This is what I'm saying, obviously, because turn one and two, the only way normally you get a run into turn three is either the car in front of you makes a mistake or you go complete balls to the wall at a turn two. This is why I'm thinking, you know, whether there should be that little bit of reward if you can activate the DRS earlier.
Yeah, potentially. I don't think, 10, 15 metres would make that much difference on such a short section of track, but it would be interesting to see, definitely. I think we're more likely to see moves, just the traditional type move into turn three, really, where you force someone defensive into one, you get a switch back, and then go and run into three. I think.
But again, this would play into my DRS idea.
Yeah, it would. Maybe you should contact Ross Brawn, be like, sort us out.
Okay, I'll hit him up with an email.
Yeah.
RossBrawn@gmail.com. Yo, mate, let me sort out your DRS sounds. I'm sure I'll get a response.
Yeah.
But, I mean, looking at sort of like the one between turn 8 and turn 9, I'm sort of there, like, I feel like that kind of doesn't really do the job the DRS is designed to.
Yeah, we'll get people close, I think, and then they're close enough for maybe a move into 11. I don't think we'll see anyone into 9 at all.
No. But this is what I mean. I think if you had the DRS zone all the way back from 7, you probably would see moves into turn 9.
But then the problem is there, you don't want to make it too easy, almost, because if you're driving past it before the braking zone, that's not the point. But yeah, there isn't really a braking zone before 9 anyway, to be honest.
There'll be a bit more now, I would have thought.
You've probably gone to 6th, maybe, I'd guess, something like that.
Well, you'll take the corner at the same speed, won't you? But obviously we're going in a lot quicker.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
it will be a couple of downshifts. And then, of course, turn 11, I'm really, really intrigued to see how that turns out. Of course, one of the less stated sort of track changes that could actually make a huge difference.
They've made that a bit sharper, haven't they, in turn 11?
It's a bit longer the straight, and then, a proper 90-degree corner.
Yeah, which could allow for a bit more overtaking. Because that's always a problem with the DRS zone there in the past. It's just such a curved corner that it's almost... like no braking zone, really. You'd tap the brakes very briefly.
Well, you kind of launch it through past the apex, don't you?
So unless you're like fully alongside before the braking zone, there's just no point trying it.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to see if that makes a difference. I would still put my money on turn three being the most popular place for overtakes.
Yes. Yeah. Probably. We'll have to wait for being sensible. I can't wait for it to end up now being turn 14 or something stupid.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, this is what we want to see, though. You know. I've always been a fan of Melbourne. I've always loved the circuit. I know you've never felt the same way.
I do. I like it as a season opener. I feel like now it's not a season opener. Like, I feel like we've been gentle on it because we've been always kind of off the back of like 2 months off of F1. So we always just take what we get. But I think now it's not a season opener and we've had two very good races. I feel like this one's going to be a bit dead, to be honest. But we'll have to wait and see. Maybe the track changes will surprise me.
Yeah, exactly. It's always the worry, isn't it, with track changes? Yeah. You know, sometimes we see tracks try to make changes for the better and it just completely goes the wrong way. But it's, again, another step into the unknown, and I think this is what keeps F1 interesting
at
the moment, though. Speaking of Australia then, Jamie, let's jump into it then. Currently you're, 7-6 up on the predictions? I believe.
Yes,
7-6.
Yeah, that's right, I nailed it last week.
You did do pretty well last week. Credit where credit's due.
I would... Predictions for Melbourne. It's so hard doing it. Like, we've not been there in 3 years. Like, last time Leclerc raced there... last time he raced there with a legal car, he was in a Sauber. So, it's so hard to tell if he's good there or not. It was also his first ever race in 2018. So, yeah, we ignore 2019 because the engine didn't count. I will say... Everyone's going to call me a fanboy, but I'm going Verstappen pole.
I wanted to say Verstappen pole.
I will say Verstappen win. I might go for a cheeky little Checo Perez.
Red Bull 1-2?
And then Leclerc.
For the first time since when?
Malaysia 2016.
Oh!
Only for the second time in the hybrid era.
Not a serious team.
Yeah, I will go Verstappen, Perez, Leclerc.
Interesting. Okay.
Red Bull OP 2013 style.
Red Bull OP 2013 style. Right, okay. Now, I really want to be exciting and interesting here.
Magnussen on pole.
not stupid. I just can't bring myself to go particularly different from you on this. And the thing is, well, obviously, whoever loses this at the end of the year gets a tweet put out on their account. So,
yeah.
I'm going to also say Verstappen pole, but I am going to go Verstappen, Leclerc, Perez top three.
Oh, that's so different. That it's going to be a massive point swing this week.
It is, isn't it? But I'm only 1 point behind you, so I'm
yeah, I suppose it's early days. We'll just keep her. Hanging in there until the end of the season while we go wild.
Yes, yeah. Quickly as well then, Jamie. Of course, no fantasy results to look back at this week, though. Have you, though, made any changes to your roster?
Not as of yet. We're still rocking the old Verstappen-Leclerc-Ferrari combo with a few cheapos alongside that with Ocon, Joe and Magnussen. The only thing I can see me changing is potentially Ocon to... I don't know, a Bottas or Alonso or anyone like that. Potentially Gasly if he drops enough in price. Yeah, I don't see myself changing my big five other than Ocon, who's like the spare man, really.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll have to wait and see. I tend to wait until practice because I'm a sweat. So I'll see
yeah,
what the
you
times
really
are
do
like.
Try hard this, don't you?
Well, I'm doing well, so we've got to keep it up, you know?
Yeah, that's fair enough. That's fair enough. I mean, I've had a rough and interesting start to the year. A lot of potential in my team. But hasn't quite delivered as well as I would have liked. Of course, now finally Latifi has been made cheaper. I've managed to scrap him and Albon's also been made cheaper, so I've squeezed him into the roster. But I'm still rocking, yeah, Magnussen, Leclerc, Ferrari, the same three as you. I've then got Albon, Perez and Russell. So, you know, if Mercedes, you know, sort of bring up the pace a bit, I've definitely got some strong potential there as well. So I stand strong by my field of number twos, it feels like.
Yeah, fair enough. And we obviously Hamilton is the only driver to get pole at Melbourne in the hybrid era, which is kind
it's
of
going to happen again this weekend.
Yeah, I'd be very surprised, but we never know. He does often pull out like a second in sector one, like he did in 2018. So you never know.
Sunday as well, Jamie. Last time I checked the weather, it was predicted for showers.
I've just had a look. It's I don't know what time the race happens, and it's quite late, isn't it?
Fairly afternoon, yeah.
So yeah, there's 25%, it says, from about 3 o'clock onwards. So we never know.
We
can get back
to
the old F1 trend of looking at the weather and getting disappointed.
Exactly. you mentioned him as well briefly, Jamie. Fernando Alonso, Alpine's El Plan. Apparently he's trying to get as many grid penalties as possible this year. What is going on?
Oh, it's an absolute nightmare for Alonso. He's already on his third ICE, I want to say.
Yep.
I don't know.
Five place penalty.
Bahrain. No, he's not got a penalty this race. This is he's allowed.
Oh,
three.
You get three now, don't you?
Yeah. But any more, which when he's going at the rate of one per weekend,
yeah, that's going to be a lot of penalties.
Yeah, he's looking at a five place penalty every race. But no, it's yeah, unfortunate. Obviously, he had that failure in Jeddah. I don't know what happened to the one in Saudi in Bahrain. Sorry, but
got
yeah,
sand in it.
Not great from Alonso. But yeah, he'll be he's used to penalties after the 85 place at Belgium 2017. So there was 2015, sorry.
20
I can't remember.
It might be yeah, one or the other, wasn't it?
Yeah.
A
starting
fun time.
from the bus stop chicane. Or even further probably.
Yeah, yeah, all part of the fun, isn't it? Yeah, last I think we're not really forgetting much else though, are we, Jimmy? Apart from obviously of course it is looking more and more likely with every passing day that Porsche and Audi could next week get signed off to be allowed to apply for an F1.
Mm. That would be very good, especially with the strong Andretti rumours happening a couple of months ago.
We could be up to the full 26.
Yeah, that'd be mad. Although, am I right in thinking that one of them would be like through McLaren? Or is that sort of conjecture?
There were talks that McLaren could have got bought out, but they've all faded away.
Right.
It could be that they sort of McLaren and them lean on each other for a bit so McLaren gets some dirt cheap engines.
Right, yeah. But even so, potentially 24 cars, maybe 26, would be very good for F1.
Yeah, and I mean...
But I do
I
feel like 26 we'd need to up the points, I think, maybe.
I wouldn't... It depends on how competitive it is, I suppose.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, 10 cars... It's weird, isn't it, when we sort of think now, 10 cars scoring points is actually quite a lot.
Well, it's the most we've ever had, isn't it? So.
Yeah.
Yeah,
unless, of course,
not.
It used to be the old adage of fastest lap bonus point got split out between people.
Between seven people, yeah.
Yeah, Silverstone 1955?
I believe so. When Fangio won the title with 55 and a seventh of a point.
Nice, what a baller. But yeah, I think that that is massive for F1 if Porsche and Audi sign the dotted line.
Get your stocks in, ready for the big spot.
I've already got my Porsche share. I've already got my Formula One share. I haven't got an Audi share though.
Have you got your Teo Porsche share?
I have not got my Teo. I would love to invest in Teo Porsche share. Although, tell you what, he needs to invest in a new Mechachrome engine.
Does. He needs to invest in a new team.
He's had so much bad luck this year in F2.
It's only F1 in Melbourne, right? No support series, unfortunately.
There's no way. Well, apart from like the Aussie V8s and things like that, they're not going to drag Formula 2 or F3 down there.
True.
To the land down under. But I think, Jamie,
that's about everything.
I think we've covered everything this week, haven't we? We haven't forgot anything. Not going to check Twitter quickly.
Oh yeah, let's do that.
Something always gets announced just after we finish one of these, so we look forward to that.
I don't believe so.
I don't believe so either. So
let us know your predictions for Melbourne in the comments.
Yes, man, I'm loving that plug, mate. Fair play. You're becoming a podcast pro.
Go rate us on Spotify as well.
Yes, yeah, if you give us a 5-star rating on Spotify, that would massively, massively help us out as well. Obviously, give us a follow over there. I personally as well just want to say a quick thank you. Last week, I was thanking you guys for 40,000 subscribers. Now, I'm thanking you for 41,000. In fact, at the time of recording this, we're almost up to 41,500. 50K nice. Before F1 2022 might just be possible now, which is just stupid in my eyes. But yeah, massive thank you to all of you guys, like I said, for all the continued support on the channel. But Jamie, as always, it's been a pleasure, mate. Thank you for coming along.
Thanks for having me. We'll see you next week.
Yeah, next week Jamie might have a bit of an interesting background.
Yeah, we'll see.
But we'll wait and see about that. But yeah, let us know, like we said, your predictions for the Australian Grand Prix next weekend. And yeah, we'll be back episode 50, Jamie, next week, and no one will. We'll get the party poppers ready.
Half century. We'll see you then.
Half century.